It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Voltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. The love affair with model trains started long before our time. The BBC reports that the first mass market railway sets came out back in 1891, and they skyrocketed in popularity after the turn of the century. So more than 100 years later, we're still fascinated, mesmerized by miniature locomotives and the tracks that they travel. Are you a model train hobbyist? Why can't you get enough of building and creating model railroads? Maybe you prefer someone else deals with the setup so you can enjoy watching the engine click across the tracks. Join the conversation at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Ken Jaglinski is the chairman of TrainFest. It's a major model railway show happening this weekend in Milwaukee. Ken, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Keely. How are you?
Good, thank you. I know you're very busy. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Let's start with you personally, though. You call yourself a lifetime model railroader. What are the qualifications for that?
I guess you have to get started when you're like 2 years old.
And that's what you did.
Yes, I did. I was lucky in that when I was two, my parents bought me a train set, a Lionel set, and then not knowing, my grandmother also bought me an American Flyer that same year. And so when I got to go to grandma's house, I got to run the American Flyer train, and we had the Lionel at home. And we would set up the Lionel around the Christmas tree and do the village and all that kind of stuff. And then and at grandma's house, I got to do whatever I wanted. So, you know, we had some turnouts and we built some buildings and we just had fun.
That also seems like a typical parents versus grandma dynamic. At the parents' house, things are pretty precise, and at grandma's, anything goes.
That's right. It's more fun, right?
Right, exactly. Do you think that when they invested in these train sets, they realized that they were sparking a lifelong interest for you?
I don't know. I think they were just trying to be, it was a popular thing at the time in the 50s, early 50s, and they could afford it, so they went ahead and, you know, I was the oldest, so I guess I got a few extra things that the other kids never got. So
I hear you. I understand. So what types of model railways do you have now? Because you display them in your home, I understand.
Yes, I do. I have a full basement full of HO and HON3 trains. So my layout is called the Ashland Superior and Pacific. It's fictitious. I have my own decals on my engines and cabooses, and the railroad runs from Ashland, Wisconsin, through Grand Forks, North Dakota, to somewhere on the West Coast. And when we get together and operate, we'll have five people running trains at the same time. There'll be two fellas working in the yards, and we'll have three mainline trains running at one time. So, and that's the HO portion. The HON3 is a narrow gauge section of the railroad, and it's kind of a logging, small logging railroad, and it runs from a town up through the mountain to a logging camp and back down.
So you have a full setup, both of tracks, but also the landscapes, the things that you would typically see if this were, you know, in real life.
Oh, exactly. We try to make it as believable as possible. And so there's a lot of detail. There's painted backdrops and, you know, the sky is done. And then buildings and towns and people and signs everywhere. So that when you walk into the layout room, you feel like you're going to see a particular town or city. And, you know, you see people at the station, the passenger train stop there. They make, you know, pick up the folks and proceed on. So it's a real railroad in miniature is what it is.
It sounds like a lot of work, too, though.
Well, it is. I started my layout back in 1983 when
Wow.
we bought our house. And I declared it complete for the 2010 convention that we had here in Milwaukee. And since that time, it's been kind of just maintenance, making sure things continue to run and as things get broken, replacing them. And But, you know, it kind of kept me at home doing things instead of going out and being at the bar or something.
That's,
you know,
fair.
And
mm-hmm.
You know, you do things during the Packer game. You build the model.
Yeah.
You watch the game. You have, you know, that kind of situation going on. So, I mean, I think the most kind of ridiculous thing is when we had the circus parade here in Milwaukee. I went out 6 o'clock in the morning to hold a spot on a corner, and I took my models with me, and I sat there for 3 hours modeling, waiting for my, you know, kids and wife to show up, and so they didn't have to be there all morning long. So, you know, you could do that kind of thing. It's something that's pleasurable. It's something that challenges you as far as your skills, you know, and everybody has a different skill set. And that's kind of the neat thing about model railroading. You know, you can be the five-year-old with the Brio train, or you can be the 70-year-old with, you know, a little more sophisticated layout, but still we're all having fun at all these ages, you know.
Yeah.
And nobody has to tell you what your layout's going to look like or how it's going to run. It's something that makes you happy.
Yeah. Ken Jaglinski is the chairman of TrainFest in Milwaukee, also a lifetime model railroader. And there's room for you in this conversation about trains, 800-642-1234. We want to know, have you ever constructed a model railroad? How did you design it and use your creativity? How much time did you spend creating that world? You can call us at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Ken, earlier when you were explaining the track system you have at your house, you were talking about different sizes. I understand that can be a pretty big deal. There are, you know, half a dozen or more different sizes for model trains.
Yes, it's called gauge. And we have at TrainFest, we'll have everything from 7.5-inch gauge, which are trains that people will be riding on, down to Z scale. And I don't know exactly, I think Z scale is like 1/200. HO scale is 187. So it's about 1/8 of an inch to a foot. Then you have O scale, which is 1/4 inch to a foot. And then G scale is a little bit bigger. That's garden railroad type stuff, which like I have in the backyard. And so we go from 7.5 inches, G scale, O scale, S scale, HO, N, and then Z.
Okay, so understanding the different scales and different manufacturers, can you mix and match, or is that not a thing that we do?
Well, you can mix and match manufacturers by scale. I mean, you can't run O scale trains on S scale tracks.
Sure.
It's different size. So, and then you have, besides that, you have railroads that were not built to the standard gauge in the United States or all across the world. They were built to a different scale between the rails. So like on my layout, there's a section called, it's narrow gauge, and it represents 3 feet between the rail heads, and that's called HON3. The standard gauge rail is 4'9.5" between the rails. So when you go out to the, you know, what you see today is standard all across the country. But there's some places in the country, like in Silverton and Chama and out east, there's still narrow gauge railroads that operate and provide tourists trips and things like that.
Wow, incredible precision there, Ken. Ken Jaglinski stays with us this hour here on Wisconsin Weekend. He's chairman of TrainFest in Milwaukee, also a devout model railroader. And you're part of this discussion. You can call 800-642-1234 to join in. And speaking of trains, a new episode of the Derailed podcast from WPR is available this week. It focuses on high-speed rail in Wisconsin. And this episode actually tells the story of the physical trains and what happened to them after the state made a deal to make them. Our reporters are looking into it on Derailed. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the draw of model trains this hour on Wisconsin Weekend. Train Fest kicks off tomorrow in Milwaukee to celebrate all things model railroad. And train sets have weathered the test of time with some legendary supporters. Here's the man in black himself, Johnny Cash, in an ad for Lionel train sets back in 1976.
Everything here is included. Cranes at work, cargo, track, buildings, big trucks, and big trains for small hands to play with. It's Lionel Trains and Truckin', where the highway meets the track.
Did you have that, Lionel, when you were growing up? Do you collect model trains? What's your favorite piece? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org with your questions about model trains. Train Fest chair Ken Jaglinski stays with us. And Ken, we've been talking about the model train setup that you've had. You know, at an early age, we've come across model trains and how they function. What should these younger generations now understand about model trains?
Well, one of the things that has happened over the years, it's like everything, electronics has become a very important part of this. And instead of playing with the computer game, you can now control your trains by digital command control. So we can operate 5 or 6 or 10 engines at the same time on the same piece of track because there's a chip inside each engine, and the signals that come from the command station will let you control those independently, where in the past you had to do some special wiring and you can only run one train in one section of track, and you had to continually switch from block to block to block when new trains were coming in. So now you can operate trains off your cell phone. There's wireless controllers, there's plug-in controllers, and the younger set is very interested in that. We have a program that just started this year called Train Fest Builders, and there's three categories that the children can participate in. One, the first category, level one, is just bring your trains to show off what you have. So we have a five-year-old coming to Train Fest that's going to be bringing, I have no idea what, but it's going to be, you know, his layout that he wants to show off. And then the second category is you bring your trains, but you have to do some type of modeling. So okay. It's not just your Brio stuff, you know. And then the third category is the STEAM project, and that stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. And it's building a module to specifications that's going to hook up to our WISE division layout. And we have, I think, about 7 or 8. There may be a girl, I don't know, but I think they're mostly boys at this point participating. And, you know, they've been working on these things now for 6 months.
Wow.
Excuse me. And, you know, they have to build it to the correct height, the correct width. The track has to be in the correct location. It has to be wired the right way. There, you know, there's a backdrop, there's a fascia, and then there's the buildings and whatever else they want to put on here. And they can design anything they want in between the two ends, as long as the ends comply to our standards.
I mean, these are really sophisticated skills that these kids are using here with these model trains.
Well, exactly. And we're trying to get this program into the museums like Discovery World, into the middle schools. We're going to have a group of, I think, about 50 kids from Racine Unified Schools coming to show off what they've been working on at their school in Racine. And this is unheard of, okay? So now this is how we're bringing the hobby to the kids. So this is one program, and this is the first year we've done that. And we have one person coming from Welch, Oklahoma. They live on a farm. He was the first guy to respond to this new program, and we're looking forward to meeting all these kids and talking to them about how they've done their project and what they learned, you know. So besides that, we have some fun things for kids to do of all ages. Now, anybody can participate in this, but obviously it's usually the younger set. So we have the junior engineer program. So you sign up and you get a 8.5 by 11 stock, see the stock paper that has a bunch of tasks on it, like you need to operate a train on a layout, and what does a red, yellow, and green signal mean, and what's a coaling tower, and, you know, what kind of car would you carry coal in, and what kind of, you know, what would milk be carried in, you know, so questions about railroading that somebody's going to go out, have to talk to people, one of the exhibitors, get the right information, answer the question, get signed off. And when they complete all the six or seven tasks on that card, then they bring it back to us and they get a certificate for a junior engineer. And we have four levels. It's started with level one, and now we have two, three, and four. And obviously each level is harder than the one before that. And so somebody can come back year after year and participate in this program. So they can run trains on some of the layouts at Train Fest. And that can be, you know, the 8 or 9 year old, or it can be the 79 year old.
Yeah.
You know?
Ken, it sounds like I've got a lot to learn there. I can't answer any of those questions. Ken Jaglinski is the chairman of Train Fest in Milwaukee and a model train enthusiast. How about you? 800-642-1234. Perhaps you're a model builder, or maybe you prefer the full size versions that haul goods across the country. What do you love about trains? And how do you think kids can learn more about them? 800-642-1234. You know, Ken, you're talking about these hobbies bridging generations. Do you consider model trains a dying hobby, or have we kept it alive all of these decades?
We've kept it alive, but we have a kind of a gap in participation. If you go to a meeting like of the WISE Division, that stands for Wisconsin Southeastern Division of NMRA, which I belong to.
And that's the National Model Railroad Association, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so we our organization is seven counties around Milwaukee. And we have about 200 members, but there seems to be an age gap between the young set, you know, anybody who's like 20 or below, and then it all of a sudden it goes up to maybe 50. And the people in between were missing. And I think that's part of the problem we had from past shows, where in the past it used to be, come and see what we're doing, our modeling, but don't touch, you know, don't touch my stuff.
Right.
And I think since I've taken over as chairman, we've started putting the controls in the hands of the people. We have a make and take program that's sponsored by William K. Walters, and there's two different model kits that kids can sign up and build right there at Train Fest. One's a plastic model, one is a kind of a vinyl color the station, you know, for a 2 to 4 year old, you know, and the other ones is probably from 6 and up. But you know, we'll sit there. We have modelers from all the exhibitors come and participate to mentor the parent and the child about, you know, the proper techniques so they can learn how to build stuff. So we have a train you can ride on. We have trains you can operate. We have every historical society you would like to hear about. We have the national museums represented, like the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay, the Illinois Railway Museum in Union, Illinois. All these people are at Train Fest. So we have representing the real live things down to the smallest model. We have probably 60 manufacturers, and they are announcing new product releases at Train Fest. We'll have vendors that will sell everything from hats and shirts to every vehicle or railroad car or track. And so anything art, we have high quality art pieces. There's several artists there that sell their works. So it's all railroad related, and it's a fun time. We're expecting probably close to 20,000 people over the weekend. On the other side, we have probably 1,600 plus people who are exhibitors between the manufacturers, the layouts, the historical societies, the displays. So, you know, you can spend easily spend 2 days at TrainFest and not do it all. We also have 58 clinics, and those are how-to clinics or historical clinics. So this year's celebrated railroad is the Burlington, which stands for the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy, the CB&Q. And we have a 32-panel historical display. This is museum-quality work now. And so you can come and learn everything about this railroad that we're celebrating. And throughout the show, there'll be people selling special items on the CB&Q. Some of the layouts will be running CB&Q equipment. And so this is our theme for this year. Last year, it was the Great Northern. Next year, it's going to be the Wisconsin Central. So we've been producing these historical displays for like the last 5 or 6 years.
Wow, yes. And it sounds like whether you go for the history or for the souvenir or to make a connection, trying to find it at all different angles. Ken Jaglinski stays with us as we talk trains here on Wisconsin Weekend. He's chair of TrainFest in Milwaukee. And we want to let you know that TrainFest is one of the many business sponsors of WPR, and the Ideas Network is also a media partner of TrainFest. You can join this conversation about trains. Do you own any model trains, or is someone you know into it? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation here on the morning show in just a moment. I'm Keely Boltina on the Ideas Network. There's the click and clack of a model train. It's different than one of a real-life freight train, but recognizable still. It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this fall, the Chicago Tribune reviewed some train sets ahead of the holiday gift rush, and the recommendation comes with a note. Model trains aren't just for under the tree. No, we break them out all year round. Join our conversation about model railroads. Have you ever had to troubleshoot your model train? How did you fix it? What did you learn about its mechanisms? And how much math and meticulous planning go into setting up your model railroad? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We have a line for you. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Ken Jaglinski is our guide here on Wisconsin Weekend, a lifelong model railroader and also a member of the National Model Railroad Association. Ken, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned your backyard. So you have a different setup in your basement than you do in the backyard. How are they different? Hey, Ken, are you there? All right. We must have lost Ken. We'll try to reconnect with him in just a little bit and bring back this conversation about model trains. We're talking about all things trains, not just the miniature versions, but also trains in real life. We know that as November and December get underway, there are holiday trains and special rides in different areas of Wisconsin. Maybe you've already booked tickets to one of those. I know we looked into it in the morning, talked about maybe booking tickets, and by the evening when we decided to go for it, everything was sold out. Trains are big here in Wisconsin, and there's room for you to tell us why you love the rails. 800-642-1234 is the line. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org to share your experiences. Maybe you've never worked with model trains. This is an opportunity for you to ask a question about how to get into it. And that's because we have president of TrainFest, Ken Jaglinski, on the line talking with us this hour on Wisconsin Weekend. Ken, are you there? Sounds like we still might be missing him. We'll try again in just a moment. If you're headed to TrainFest, let us know about it. Why are you going to the Milwaukee area? Are you going to check out some trains? Are you looking for some merchandise? Maybe you want to talk with other people who work on trains, model trains, or in the history section of it. 800-642-1234. The line is available for you. We will also reconnect with TrainFest chair Ken Jaglinski in just a moment, who is also a lifelong model train builder. And from the time that he was really young, a lot of people get interested in model trains when they are quite young. And so Ken is one of them. Maybe you got a train when you were little. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. And that is an option for you for sure as we continue this conversation here on the Ideas Network. And let's go ahead and move forward just and try one more time with Ken. It sounds like we might be able to get him on the line. We know he's on a cell phone at TrainFest setting up for this weekend, so the connection can be kind of dicey sometimes. Ken, let's try one more time. Are you there to join us to keep talking about model trains?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming back. I'm wondering if you can talk with us about the setup that you have in your backyard. We talked about how you have a couple of rooms in your house, but you also have an outdoor set of trains. All right, we're having a few more difficulties, so that's just fine. We're going to go ahead and move on to our Wisconsin Life piece right now, and we'll work to try to connect with again with Ken so that we can continue our conversation about trains. And, of course, you're welcome to give us a call at 800-642-1234 to share your story. It's now time for Wisconsin Life, and we'll get to producer Maureen McCollum with a story about family.
The connection between a grandmother and her granddaughter is special, especially when it's bound by braids. Writer Araceli Esparza tells us more about it in the story Braided Life or Vida de Trenzas.
Everyone, everywhere wears their hair differently, but not me. My braids, I wear them every day because I like it that way. I wear a braid like mi mama, and she wears her braid like her mama, my grandmother. Braids are familia, but some days with all of its twists and turns, I wish to lose or cut it short. Monday, Lunes.
Mama, why do we wear braids? Quetzali asks.
Braids are who we are, mija. I wear braids. Abuelita wears braids. Braids are like family.
We are family every day.
I don't want to wear my braids anymore. I want to be like everyone else with short or curly hair and be me.
Tuesday, Martes.
At school, I see wavy hair, corn-rolled hair, twisted hair, and even colored hair. I want to snap my trenzas away, but when I touch them, they remind me what Mama said, and I walk on.
Wednesday, Miércoles. In front of a mirror, I comb my hair up, maybe like this. I tease it sideways, or like this, to make new hair and a new me.
Thursday, Jueves.
Abuelita, when I go to the tienda, there's short, spiky, and long hair, but my trenzas are woven. At the dress shop, I see round, soft, fluffy hair, but my braids are pulled tight.
At the Fix-It store, I see slick and shiny hair, but my braids hang down.
You're right, Quetzali. Everyone wears their hair differently, says Abuelita.
Friday, Viernes. Our hair connects us to where we work, who we are, and where we come from, Abuelita tells me on the way to the park.
I run, but my braids make me slow to chase, or too big to go under, and after a while, my braids are like two matted fighting cats.
Saturday, Sábado.
Abuelita, the kids at school yanked on my trenzas, and sometimes my braids get in the way of having fun. Gently, she sits me up on the chair and begins to part my hair.
I understand, Quetzali. Sometimes when people see trenzas, they wish to have one, and because they don't have one, they feel that teasing is the only way.
Abuelita, if I cut my hair, will I still be familia?
Ay, Quetzali, familia is familia, always. Remember, if you do cut your hair, it will grow back.
Sunday, Domingo.
Sitting in the salon with pinned up hair, ready for my haircut, I see me without my long, strong hair. And I see me, lonely and plain. With a twirl, I stop her scissor hands, and I make my braids like propellers, and with a whoosh, I'm in the air. Zoom, zoom, between backyards and from playgrounds and rooftops, I see all these people with shiny, brown, braided hair like me, looking royal and proud. My braids, I wear them every day because I like it that way.
Y mientras dejo tu trenza, imagino.
Araceli Esparza is a writer based in Madison and host of the podcast Midwest Mujeres. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And now we resume our conversation about model trains. We have Train Fest happening this weekend in Milwaukee, and we are having a conversation about why people love model trains. There's room for you at 800-642-1234. Tell us about your setup, what you like about it, why you can't get enough of these miniature locomotives. And we have Diane calling us from Milwaukee on the line. Diane, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, good morning. And good morning, Ken. Really wonderful program.
Thank you. What did you want to share?
Yes, my call revolves around when I was a child back in the 1950s. This Lionel train made an appearance at Christmas time, and it was a steam locomotive in metal, and it was huge. It must have been 8 or 10 inches long and about 4 inches high, and it had a coal car, and there were several. There was a box car and an oil tanker and a wonderful caboose, and it was just beautiful. And it had a transformer with two flippers, and all of a sudden it disappeared the next Christmas. So I thought about that train. It was such a beautiful train, and it weighed a ton when you held it, and it was like an old steam engine. And I was wondering if you could tell me what kind of a train that was. It was much larger than those HOs. I've seen those, and they're much smaller. Wondering if you...
I'm not sure, Diane. Let's check in with Ken Jaglinski, the chairman of TrainFest in Milwaukee, and see, Ken, does anything that Diane's talking about ring a bell for you?
Oh, it certainly does. Lionel, we'll have Lionel, the manufacturer, at TrainFest. That is O-scale, or O-27, because it runs on three-rail track, even though it's not quite perfectly O, but Lionel is still making product. And there's we have the Lionel Club of Milwaukee will be there with about 50 or 60 different people. They'll have portable layouts there, so you can see actual the same types of trains. And steam engines, they come in several different kind of formats, and it's based on the wheel arrangements.
And Ken, I'm going to pause you right there. We'll come back right in just a moment here. We're talking about model railroads this hour with Ken Jaglinski, and we're wondering, are you going to Train Fest or attending another model show? What's your favorite part of the experience? Call 800-642-1234. We continue this conversation about model trains in just a moment. I'm Keely Boltina. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and this weekend's Train Fest in Milwaukee is a celebration of the model railroad. Dozens of working train sets, all-day festivities, and organizers say many families spend about 4 hours at the show, and there's still more to see. Ken Jaglinski is chair of Train Fest and joins us this morning to talk about it while he's finishing setup for the weekend that draws in thousands of train fans. And Ken, when we left off, you were talking about transistors and power sources when it comes to model trains long ago and the modern ones.
Yes, we were. I think we were going to talk about the steam engines, the gal had a question.
Mm-hmm.
And so steam engines are classified by their wheel arrangements. So the front wheels, usually called pony truck, so let's say if there's four of them in the front, then it could be or there would be two on the left side, so it would be a two, and then maybe six driving wheels. So it would be 2-6, and then two would be the trailing trucks. So that's how they were classified. So like a switch engine would be 060, no front pony truck, six drive wheels, and no trailing truck. And then you could have 282, 262s, 462s. So that's how, when she was talking about the steam engines, that's how they're classified.
Sure, so that you understand that. Let's take another call. Kay in Milwaukee is ready to talk with us. Kay, what did you want to share this morning?
Just some of my memories. I grew up in the 40s. My father helped build the dam at near north of Prairie du Chien, and we lived near the railroad tracks. And I'm told that when I was growing up there by the railroad tracks, I was taught that when the Zephyr went through at 7 o'clock, I would say, toot, toot, time to go to bed. Oh, the other thing is,
once
the dam opened, my father worked on the dam, and so we moved to Linksville, a little town which is still 15 miles north of Prairie du Chien, and we could take the local train to Prairie du Chien, get groceries, and come back. We usually didn't do that. We used our car, which is probably why local service dropped out. But and also, I had a paper route for the Dubuque Telegraph Herald newspaper. And on Sundays, the truck didn't deliver the newspapers. They were sent north on the train. But the train didn't stop in Linksville early on Sunday morning. They would toss the papers out of the moving train. And like as not, when I would get down there to pick up the papers, they would have gone back under the wheels of the train and would be cut up all the way up and down the tracks. And
oh, goodness.
I'd have to call Dubuque and say, send them up tomorrow.
So. Oh, goodness. Kay, thank you so much for sharing those stories. And Ken, Kay's connections, not to model trains, but to the real rails that have been so much a part of the building of this country.
Yes, well, Kay mentioned the Zephyr. And the Zephyr is one of the trains that the Burlington route had. And that's the celebrated railroad this year. So if Kay comes down, she can probably read in our historical display all about the Zephyr and the competition to get from Chicago to Minneapolis between the Northwestern, the Burlington, and the Milwaukee Road. And so those memories are all important to all of us.
Mm. And we also had Chris from Adams who couldn't stay with us. And she's hoping that you could talk about the miniature train display at the Milwaukee County Zoo. Chris used to go all the time and really enjoyed it. Ken, are you familiar with that?
I am. The zoo train is a little larger than the 7.5-inch gauge trains will have at Train Fest. And I think it's about a mile loop throughout the Milwaukee County Zoo, and it still operates. And they have both steam and diesels. They operate their diesels more than the steam. But it's a pleasant ride. You can see some of the animals from the train. You go through the woods. And I don't know what the tickets cost are, but I know that the zoo is still, that's very popular at the zoo. And you get on right near where the carousel is, so right near the front entrance.
Ken Jaglinski is chairman of Train Fest in Milwaukee. When we're talking about model railroads, full-sized rails, potentially trains that you can just take a ride on that aren't in full service, and that's because Train Fest happens this weekend in Milwaukee. And Ken, you've mentioned a number of museums families can go in to take in the history of trains, and I wonder why you think it's important that we honor that history, whether it's by hand painting scenery in model trains or looking at a display?
Well, the railroads really built the United States. When the first transcontinental railroad was completed under Abraham Lincoln's term, it really allowed the United States to expand in how it moved goods. It allowed people to move west, set up farms, mining happened. So the economy grew by leaps and bounds because of the railroads. And today they're a very important part of getting products that come in from all over the world distributed throughout the United States. So things have changed. The railroads, there's been more and more mergers, so there's only really seven major railroads right now in the United States. But they can move, you know, freight from any port, from the West Coast down to New Orleans, down to the East Coast. They do it very efficiently. It's more cost efficient than trucking, but it has some issues in that it has to be go from one location like a yard in Oregon to a yard in Chicago, and from there the materials have to get offloaded onto to trucks for general delivery to the locality. But still, a train can haul the equivalent of hundreds and hundreds of truckloads of material and not tear up the roads and be much more efficient fuel-wise. And they're relatively safe. You hear of some, you know, railroad accidents, but a lot of them are actually people doing the wrong thing, mm-hmm. not being safe around crossings. You know, everybody's in too much of a hurry these days, so you know they'll try to beat the train at the crossing. Well, that's not, you don't win that one.
No one does. Know? Do you think of that context, the real life context, when you're working with your model trains, or is that kind of a separate kind of appreciation, and you can block all of that out and dial into the beauty of the models?
Oh, when we're modeling, we really get into, you know, the detail of what we're doing, you know, and while we're sitting here working on a small thing right in front of you, you're really focused on that. But we all of us modelers, we all appreciate the history of the railroads and what they've done and what they continue to do. So The things that happen today, you know, from ship to rail to truck, it's the most efficient transportation system that we can have. And in the future, maybe we'll go to things like maglev, you know, but the cost of building that infrastructure is very, very high, even though the payback would be good. So it's going to take, you know, another big leap like the Transcontinental Railroad to get to the next level of technology throughout the United States. The high-speed rail, you know, you have to have dedicated lines for that. Mm-hmm. And there's some new projects going on, and there's been some projects like in the state of Wisconsin that have been nixed. I think you have a program coming up on that.
Yes, we do. Our Derailed podcast is alive and well. Ken, in just our last minute here, this is going to be a pretty tough question. It might be like asking, who's your favorite child? Do you have a favorite train?
Well, yes, I'm a fan of the Northern Pacific Railroad, and I kind of modeled my models in the basement kind of reflect that, although it's I tend to not be a rivet counter and worry about what a specific engine looks like. I'm more into the overall picture and the scenery, but the NP is a favorite.
That sounds great. Ken, thank you so much. It's been a delight. We really appreciate your time, and we know you have a lot of work ahead of you, so thank you for joining us this morning.
We appreciate being on the air, and we like to invite people to come to Train Fest. You can still get your tickets online or at the door.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. Ken Jaglinski is chairman of Train Fest in Milwaukee, lifetime model railroader, and a member of the National Model Railroad Association. We actually have a slideshow of pictures from Train Fest on WPR.org/mornings. And we want to let you know that Train Fest is one of the many business sponsors of WPR. The Ideas Network, also a media partner of Train Fest. You're listening to The Morning Show. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Ideas Network.